pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Counselor Meyer?
Here.
Counselor Anderson?
Here.
Counselor Lazier?
Here.
Counselor Stone?
Here.
Counselor Egbert?
Here.
Counselor Boggs?
Here.
And Mayor McKnight?
Here.
Introduction of media. Are any media here tonight? Announcements. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter will need to fill out a speaker form and send it into the recorder. Forms are available on the sign-in table in the back of the room. Public comments. Agenda items only. The purpose of public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens must come up to the microphone. Please state name and address. So I don't see any agenda items one, so. On the presentations, wastewater presentations, Q&A, finance director, and finance advisor.
Yes, if you give us a second, we're going to have a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, sure.
So we'll get this set up and
give people a chance to get in and see it. So. You want to get it right now?
Yeah. You there? Shine off your forehead.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe put a palm over there.
Say what? Want me to sit in front?
Lights.
Good evening, Mayor, Councilors, Andy Parks, your financial consultant for your wastewater rate analysis and the adjustments. This is something, as you know, that we've been working on for approximately a year. The delay really in bringing all of this back to you has to do with timing on the last item on this bullet list of the $18.262 million DEQ loan, which is pending. And you have met, as I understand it now, all the requirements for that, and it's going through public notice, or is going through public notice right now to ultimately finalize that and allow your staff to execute that agreement and fund this sewer wastewater treatment plant expansion project. When we started this project, the objectives and goals here were to go ahead and make sure that there were adequate revenues and what those rates would be needed to generate that revenue to fully fund operations, provide for capital replacements, and to meet the terms of debt financing. The big thing with respect to debt financing, the $2.62 million IFA loan has a 1.2 debt coverage ratio, which means the money after paying operations and your transfers has to equal 1.2 times the debt service requirement for that loan. The same is going to apply with respect to the $18.262 million DEQ loan. I'll cover the financial side of this at the very end together with the rates and just walk you through the process of how we're getting to the amounts that are presented for your consideration. The initial findings as we ran the long-range forecast with the capital outlay, the operations in the debt, with the interest rates that were in place about this time last year actually, amounted to $64.64 per equivalent residential unit, or EDU, equivalent dwelling unit, which is a single-family home. This is prior to making any adjustments associated with rate equity, which we'll talk about here in a second. And again, mention the initial interest rates for both the DEQ and IFA loans, which were a little higher than what the ending rates are going to be. What we also learned last year about this time was the single-family residential customers appear to be paying significantly more than other customer types. And so the council authorized moving forward with an effort to analyze the rates. Council, as you call, appointed a wastewater rate equity group that worked with myself and staff to evaluate the rates, provide their recommendations. The goals of that group were to, again, look at a more equitable recovery of cost for service, simplify the rate structure if possible, and have a rate methodology that was consistent among customer types. Adjust that here. This is the initial findings, is that you see residential customers far and away are your largest customers, both in terms of by use and then also by how much they're paying. And this includes single family and multifamily. Then the other classes where you see, say the next largest would be commercial, and you're seeing the customers there, the blue, they're paying more than ultimately they're consuming. And these are in proportion. So the percentage of use for commercial users, for example, is 3.4%, the percentage of revenue is 6.7. So by class, they're paying considerably more than ultimately what they're using. And then on residential, there's a similar percentage gap, but on an overall basis, it's not nearly as significant proportionally. And then the other classes, most notably would be the motels and RV park, where they're consuming about 5% and paying 0.6% of the revenue. So this was all brought out and looked at in depth with the rate equity advisory committee. One of the key things was looking at what the cost of single family service relative to multifamily. And what we learned in that process is that ultimately single family or multifamily residential was paying $10.80 per month, while single family is paying $34.10. And the actual use of water or consumption was 84% of the single family residential actual. I don't know if there's a pointer on this man. No. Let's go back. Right there in the middle, you can see the average gallons, 84% of single family residential is the actual. The single family rate is based off of an average of 4,500 gallons per month. And the multifamily consumption is 73% of that number. The rate equity group recommended going forward with an 80% rate for multifamily to single family. And you can see some details below in terms of what the revenue implications were in order to have equity in the residential class. Your major customer classifications, and this is not an exhaustive list on the left. There's, I think, a total of 23 different customer classifications, and these were your major ones. And the recommendation coming out of the committee was to go with three, where commercial industrial end up having the similar rates, and then residential and then multifamily, as I mentioned earlier, being 80% of a single family. This provides a summary of the major classes, what the annual revenue change is in relative to the 2015 rates, and the percentage change to what is currently being charged. So multifamily residential is an example to get them in a more equitable position requires 109% rate increase. And that again is at 80% of single family residential. All other classes are proposed to have a flat rate, which is equal to a single family home, plus consumption above 4,500 gallons, having a consumption charge. The couple of categories, and actually I should have highlighted schools in red, they are paying more than they are consuming right now, and through the equity process, they would actually be seeing a significant rate reduction. And then on the commercial classes, there are about 100 accounts out of 150 that are using less than 4,500 gallons per month. They're presently paying $37 per month. They would actually see a small rate increase or rate decrease. And then those accounts that are above 4,500, they would see an increase. And again, that's based off paying the consumption as opposed to the current methodology, which is, it varies, and it really is set up on a equivalent dwelling unit basis based on fixtures, not consumption. So the recommendations coming out of your advisory group were to go again with the three customer classes, a standard base rate for all accounts, charging consumption for usage above 4,500 gallons on all non-residential accounts, and that, but including RV parks. It just really wasn't an easier way to do that, I think, is what we came up with. The consumption rate would be approximately the amount that's in place today, and that rate would increase incrementally over time to achieve equity. Right now, your rate is $2.82 per thousand, I believe. And the rate in an equitable situation would be right at $6 per thousand. So even with the change, there's still an inequity on the customers that are, you know, industrial commercial based on their consumption. But over time, that equity is fully phased in. And a flat rate for single family as opposed to consumption-oriented system, and the same for multifamily housing, where it's being charged per unit and no longer based on consumption. The rates are proposed to be increased incrementally to the required amounts to meet the requirements associated with your debt coverage ratio. Show you that here in a couple slides. It's about a five-year phase-in. After meeting with the group and getting those recommendations, we've updated the financial forecast and modeled the rates to those forecasts and made some minor adjustments to them, which are included in the rate resolution that is in front of you this evening. Again, the rates are showing incremental rate increases on the base. Those same percentage increases are shown on the consumption plus an additional incremental rate increase on those consumption rates to bring them up to equity over 5 years. And then your next step after, you know, the rate resolution would be to go ahead and implement those rates. And then, you know, the recommendation would be to, again, periodically, probably annually, you just review the rates, make sure they're generating the revenue that they were projected, that your costs are consistent, and make minor adjustments as you move forward. With respect to the finances, all the amounts up on top are, and actually all the amounts here that are not percentages are all in thousands. So total resources is roughly $3.391 million to begin in the upper left-hand corner and increasing to $3.889 on the far right. And that's all wastewater funds. And where you're seeing the total resources where they're going up significantly in 17, 18, 19, that involves debt, as does 16. And so as we work down, you also see the debt service reserve number increasing as you phase in the required debt service reserves four IFA initially is fully funded, and then when you get out to 2019 and moving forward, you're phasing in 10% per year to meet the debt coverage requirement for the DEQ. And then the numbers there with respect to the available fund balance versus a desired minimum level. And the difference, you can see you have a positive situation there on each of the 5 years, 6 years, you know, going out to 2021. And a couple of assumptions that are built into this would be CPI at 2.5% for the first few years and then increasing to 3% thereafter, and 1.5% population growth. And the final number that's highlighted for you is, again, you need to be at a 1.2 or above. And the key time to make sure that that's on a long-term basis is in 2020, when the project is projected to be complete and the funding becomes final. And you're just above that number. And the proposed rate adjustments here, and recognize again that the base rate, there's a little note there for one, that when we did the rate equity analysis to have rate equity among single family and multifamily and so forth, we adjusted the rates back to from 3410 to 3296. And so the net effect of the rate increase is really only 8.21% on single family in year one. And on small commercial, it's actually going to go from $37 to $36.90. Then going forward in year two through, you know, the above, they would end up going up with that 11.95% each year. On the consumption rate, that rate is going to go up 27.6, 27 and two-thirds percent for five consecutive years. And that's going to approach, and I'll show you the math in the next slide, that'll bring consumption up just under $10 when the rates are fully phased in. And then you're looking at approximately inflationary type adjustments, or just under that. I think we're showing a 1% adjustment in fiscal year 2021. And so you're looking at what, $36.90 initially on flat rate single family, increasing to $58.55, which is approximately a little over what, $6 less than the preliminary estimate for single family home. The other rates are all there, the Knowles estate rates, and it would be any of those step surcharge type rates, I believe, are all kept at the same level in this analysis. Glad to address any questions you have.
If you have duplexes, you had that 4,500 gallon start out, but like Myrtle Point, they take into consideration in the summertime, they irrigate a lot of the water, so it doesn't go through the sewer plant. Are we doing that, or are we going to make it to where the city won't irrigate their lawns?
No, I think, you know, one of the considerations is a great question, Councilor. And one of the discussion points was not to negatively impact the water consumption or, you know, irrigation and so forth. And so the multifamily rate and single family rate are both flat rates. There's no impact on consumption. The analysis we went through, we looked at consumption only during, for multifamily rates, only their winter usage. So when we're looking at how do they stack up winter usage relative to single family consumption, also over the winter average. So yeah, we did everything we could to do the apples to apples with water that was going into the treatment plant as opposed to lawn irrigation.
Yeah, because like motels, they would, it isn't going to really change on their part, the duplexes and things like that with their irrigating.
Right. Yeah, and on a duplex, I believe this is set up, anything that's multifamily, so duplex, triplex, et cetera, would be at 80% of a single family home.
But a motel falls under the commercial
yes
category. How many how many commercial industrial connections do we have that exceed that? Well, I guess the first question is what's our largest user?
I have to go back a bit. I believe it is one of your fast food businesses would be your largest
user. And what type of flow are we talking there? I mean, do we know?
Yeah, we have the details on each account that we analyzed. What I can tell you is the high volume users were paying approximately 13 cents to the dollar for the same usage as your residential customers.
What was their flow, though? I'm just trying to get an idea, a perspective of what their bill might be. I mean, are we talking 40,000 gallons in a month, or?
And I can, I have to go back and look at the specific account. Someone that will go from about $600 a year to $5,300 potentially a year. Yeah, that's for a few of those accounts. And that's fully phased in. So the consumption rate right now will be half of what it will be in full equity mode. So right now it's going to be right around $3 worth of, as opposed to six. And that will increase from 3 to 10 over a 5-year period.
So six makes sense to me, but I was just looking at the end of year 2020, it's up to 10.
Right.
Is that just, we just keep going, or I'm trying to figure out why we went to 10 there?
Yeah, the 10 gets you to the rate equity at that point in time. Remember, the 6 is off of what the current rate is today at $34.
Okay.
So when that rate goes from 34 to nearly 60, to have rate equity, the $6 rate would have a similar proportional type increase. Okay. So that's why it's going to go from 3 to 10, but it's just, rather than, I think that the committee looked at that and said, we don't want to go to 6 right away, full equity, and then do that. You know, it's, we'll phase that in as well.
So their sewer bill will be 6.25 a month?
Yeah, if fully implemented, they would be just under $600 per month to be equitable to what single family homes are paying today. And they're paying right now $81 a month.
That's McDonald's.
Maybe go back to another point I think you were asking, Counselor. There's approximately 150 commercial / industrial accounts. 100 of those accounts are small industrial customers that are using, or small commercial. They're using less than 4,500. Many of them using less than 1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. They're presently paying slightly more than a single family customer. And this, getting again back to the rate equity and the whole equation where the group was, is go ahead and bring them back in line with single family homes so they actually would go from 37 to 36.90. And you can recognize that the rates that are currently being charged these businesses are so far underneath what would be equitable, or what is equitable in any. That's why you're seeing such a dramatic change to those accounts. Again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, some of these customers are paying 13 cents for the same waste as, you know, a single family home.
My only concern is the marketability of business, commercial and industrial. And I don't know how much of an impact a buck or $1.50 on the residential rate makes to that user charge. Because at $5,300 a year compared to $600, their base rate's only the $600, and all the rest is in consumption charge based on flow, which, you know, theoretically, the higher users pay more, but trying to entice growth to come to Sutherland, that's my only concern. What is this compared to with surrounding communities? The consumption rate, not necessarily the base rate. Base rate is going to be up for everybody, we know that, but the consumption rate is my concern.
Yeah, and I didn't go back and update the charts, but you were very low before. What I can tell you is your consumption, your cost for commercial, if having low consumption was a marketing tool and so forth, you guys should have more commercial than you know what to do with, because you have by far the cheapest commercial rates. When you see somebody paying $81 a month for the amount of consumption that you're doing, it's easily going to be much closer to the rate that we're showing right now, which would be somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, $400 or $500 per month.
Does a grocery store use a lot of water?
They're not in the highest volume users.
But they're a higher one.
Yeah, they're going to be in your 50 top users, your busier supermarkets.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Okay, on the council business, we have League of Oregon City Voting Delegate. Call for staff report, city manager.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, as you know, our original plan was to not go this year, but because of the new development and the opportunity to seek a University of Oregon support for the new project, we were asked to go. And so as part of that, we're going to go and spend a couple of days, and because we're going to be there for a couple of days, they want a voting delegate, and generally it's the highest elected person going, and in this particular case that would be you, Mr. Mayor.
If I made a motion for you, how would that work? Whatever we got to do.
Are you going to be able to do that?
Yeah, I made arrangements.
Well, the University of Oregon really wanted the mayor to be there, and so did Bruce Brunette, the developer. So we asked the mayor if he could accommodate a schedule for it. Kind of an important thing, just as a side, instead of during my city manager report, if we can get the University of Oregon to do what we've asked for, as you saw in my weekly report, not only stays in Oregon and with that, but it's a tremendous economic benefit to the community.
And you're the only one pulling there?
I think so.
I think you win by default.
That's what I say. Can we make Jerry? Yeah.
We make a motion. We send the mayor to the voting delegate for the Oregon cities.
Okay.
It's been moved in second to send the mayor as the voting delegate for the 2015 LOC conference. Any more discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye. Yeah, choice. Okay.
Not yet.
On to the consent agenda. Minutes from the August 24th, 2015 regular meeting, and minutes from the August 24th, 2015 workshop. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for August
24th.
Second. Move a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any discussion?
Yeah, just to let you know I wasn't here, so I'm just going to no vote or refrain from voting.
Okay. Yeah.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Counselor Anderson abstain. Counselor Lazier?
Aye.
Counselor Stone?
Aye.
Counselor Egbert?
Aye.
Counselor Boggs?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye. Action items, general business, resolution 2015.12, authorizing jurisdictional transfer of South Comstock. Call for staff report.
This was brought before you last meeting as a, to see if you would be interested in doing it. It sounded like you were. I put the resolution together, and I don't have any new report other than what you've got in your packet.
Rob Paul's here.
Oh, is he? Okay. Rob Paul is here. He may want to speak to it.
Is there a motion? I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2015.12, jurisdiction transfer South Comstock. Second by Lazier. Any discussion or further questions with anybody?
Rob Paul.
Can we hear from the county on their commitment about sure. going after North Comstock?
Rob Paul, Douglas County Public Works Director. We've applied to ODOT for additional funding. Some of this flex funds, a lot of jurisdictions found out the same thing we did when we started this, is we put in an estimate. In this case, the city put in the estimate, but other places did estimates. Projects came in higher than expected. Some projects did not get completed. So ODOT is still currently kind of tallying up their flex funds, what got spent, what they still have. We've asked Pat Fisher from ODOT to put North Comstock in. We've got the plans, they're all completed. It would just be a matter of funding it and beginning the right-of-way purchases out there, and then we could do North Comstock. Right now, she's saying they're not sure where the funds are, and so they haven't made any commitment either way for North Comstock at this time. But we'll have to wait and see.
Are there any safe routes to school grants for that?
Not at this point, I'm not aware of any. The federal government changed their allocations and took away most of the Safe Route to Schools funds and lumped them into some other general construction funds. There's no just category for the Safe Route to Schools funds anymore.
When you said the design was complete, are you like ready for bid documents or just like 90% or 75%?
We're close. We stopped North Comstock and we were about 90% complete with the full design, because at that time when the 90% plans came out, the full project was almost $2.7 million, and the grant we had was, the full 90% for South and North together was $3.7 million. At that point, we only had $2.3 million from ODOT, so we sat back and said, what are we going to do? That's when we decided, well, let's do South Comstock, because we felt we had enough money to do that. And then North Comstock, those plans are 90% complete. So we estimate that there'd be about 60,000 left to complete those plans, and then it would be ready for bid at that point. The main cost is the construction for the North Comstock, I think, is about $1.1 million.
So what do we do about a light there at that intersection? Because that's not included in any of the money that we've been talking
that,
about.
No, it's not.
So we just get a building up, tear back up, to put a light in under the road?
Well, we weren't doing any work on Central anyway. So if we were to, you'd bore those conduits under the road. In today's, you generally don't do open cuts anymore. Almost everything is bored. And so you would bore your required conduits under the roadways.
But you'd still tear out the sidewalks.
You'd probably still tear out sidewalks to put in your big pull bases. Those are so large, they end up taking up most of the corner anyway. So by the time you augered in one of those large pull bases, you'd take out the sidewalk. Most of the time we're looking at, unless the sidewalks are about newer than about 10 years old, you're going to have to redo to the new ADA standards anyway when you do any improvements, so you would have to take out the sidewalk anyway.
Well, they will be new, though. You just build a new one on the south side.
On the south side, yeah.
The new one would be on the north side, so that's where I was. We have an issue with traffic there already, and with the school, with the buses, and people trying to get in and out, there's a safety issue there with getting on to Central.
Right.
And so that's where that really should be tried to get in the main plan all along to get up there. Because if not, what they have to do is come down, the buses actually turn on Robinson Street and go around that intersection and go east to get out of there. And there's times you're just gridlocked, you can't do anything without a light there. And so by improving South Comstock, it's actually increased the traffic flow there more. So it is going to be a congestion spot, which we've got to figure out how to put a light in there.
But technically that's a different, because of Central, you're saying that's a different project. So
yeah, probably would be, yeah.
Okay, Rob, on the $1.1 million estimate, was that based on constructing the road kind of on top of the existing, or kind of going and leveling some of the existing road and putting a new road? Because if I remember right, when I walked out there, the east side sidewalk seems to be quite a bit lower than the road, and so there's a tie-in issue there.
Yeah, and that was kind of the issue with all of Comstock, is when it was originally estimated, it was just go down from the existing pavement, cut it out, put a sidewalk on it, and pave that little strip back. And when you really looked at it, you just couldn't do that because of those issues of one side being so much higher than the other side that it just would make all kinds of problems in just widening the roadway. So that's why even on South Comstock, the price went up, because we couldn't just widen and end up with a sidewalk. We had to actually tear out some of the road, do the whole road, rechange the grades to make it all fit at a better level.
Okay.
So does our sewer line need to be lowered in that area if we shave it down?
We didn't. I don't. As far as what I'm showing on the estimates, they didn't have any utility work required. So it would still be similar to South Comstock. We had a lot of water lines that need, the service lines on the water needed to be adjusted, but that was the only thing that really needed to be done.
Any questions?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Go ahead and vote.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Councilor Egbert?
No.
Councilor Boggs?
No.
And Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Next, we have resolution 2015.14, fee schedule. Called the traffic court, finance director.
And yeah, Dan Wilson, finance director, City of Sutherland. This resolution is twofold. The first purpose is to implement the rate structure that Andy just went over, in order to meet all the requirements for the debt coverage and for the building of the sewer plant. Implementing them this year and then extending those rate increases over the next 5 years into the future. And then it also, since the last time we brought this, we determined we wanted to bring in the water increases at the same time as the sewer, to go ahead and increase the water rates by CPI this year and then whatever the CPI rate will be in the future years as well.
So that would be for a 5 year plans, which you're planning
this year and then 5 years into the future, yes.
Is that using the CPI after the 5 years automatically?
Not automatically after the 5 years. We would then revisit it.
That this is for the sewer rate that you just showed us, basically.
That's right. On the sewer side, that is exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Part of the requirement.
So I'm confused about why you're one raise the water rates, which says that you collected 4.2% or something like that more this year than you anticipated.
That was largely due to the dry weather, and usage there. That didn't have anything to do with CPI. I mean, it did have partially to do with CPI, as you remember, but it was also due to consumption as well.
Well, I understand that, but so there was revenue over income of $108,000, so why would you want to raise the rates just because you can?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of raising the rates because you can. I think it's a matter of putting something in place that is longer term rather than revisiting each and every year. And the suggestion was to go ahead and go with the CPI. Because if you fail to raise those rates by the CPI, as you know, you lose the right to raise your rates in perpetuity. So that's the reason why the rate increase is suggested at the CPI. You can always end up doing less. You can always bring this back as you go through the budget process and suggest something less than that. But this provides some guidance to staff for capital planning and staffing and so forth for your major infrastructure system. Again, just your charter basically gives you the ability to raise your rates once per year by no more than the CPI, whatever it is over that year period. So if you fail to raise it, you lose that ability, and you have bonds and other things you're committed to repay, and you're committed to have coverage ratios and so forth. So it's nothing you have to do. It was a suggestion in terms of you're doing something already on your sewer rates. This gives your public some advance notice on where you intend to be going. Something they can be, you know, planning on instead of waiting until, you know, it happens. And you'll still end up having staff come back and tell you what those rate increases are, because it can't be more than the CPI.
So how much money does this generate this year, raising the CPI?
I think I sent that to you at one point. I'm trying to remember exactly what that was, Councilor Stone. It was somewhere around 20 to 30,000, yeah, exactly.
That's just doing quick math on approximately $2 million of revenue at 1.3%.
And what are we going to do with that money? Put it in the bank and save it for when we have to replace the water plant in 30 years?
That's part of it, yes. That's exactly right.
No, part of it is that what it would be?
Well, no, but, I mean, there's cost of living increase on as far as just running the plants themselves that we're wanting to keep up with as well.
Well, for the last 40 years, nothing has been done to prepare for the future, and we've been caught here trying to, you know, do everything now. So, just wondering if the monies we're going to generate are going to be tucked away and saved for the replacement of the next.
I would say as much as possible. And that's something that we revisit each year during the budget.
Yeah, that's something that each council, because that's not, I know in past councils, they've put away money, different councils have done different things, but whether that money stays there or not, that's up to different councils. So.
Well, wouldn't that get absorbed in personnel costs because it goes up CPI every year?
Yeah, but your personnel recognize are just a portion of your overall costs of running the water utility, materials and services. You've got a lot of electricity, and then, you know, depreciation is a big piece of that cost. Betterment, you know, replacement of your water lines and so forth. And I think as Councilor Boggs noted, the reason you're having the major rate increases you're having today in sewer is not raising rates historically, and you're ultimately, you know, having to catch up. And if I could, I want to go back to, you know, Councilor Anderson's question. You know, just did a quick update and just to find out where you are in comparison to 29 other Oregon communities, you know, that I have in my database for right now. And your sewer customer, commercial customer with a 2-inch meter using 100,000 gallons per month, which is a little less than some of your customers are, but fairly comparable. The average of those customers would be $726 a month.
Okay.
And the maximum number is $1,694 per month. Sutherland will be at $323 per month.
So that 726 was from what?
It's the average of 29 cities in the state of Oregon.
29.
Going out 5 years, Sutherland would be at around $955. And assuming a 3% annual increase on your average, that number is going to be around 784. So 5 years out, you'll be higher, would be the projection. But you know, today you're still less than 50% of what the average is for these other 29 communities. So it's still, even with the huge increase, and I know it's a huge increase, you know, it is. Still relatively, and it just shows you, even with that big increase, you're still well below the average.
So taking Tom's comment about putting the money away and then taking Todd's comment about, well, we can put it away, but the next council will just spend it.
Well, that's what you saved the money. They could.
So what if we took the overage or part of the overage and paid down the debt? That's money then you've already spent. Nobody can take it again. And it's less debt for people down the line.
That becomes a fiscal policy decision, something that we started talking about a year ago. And my suggestion would be, it all depends. You know, if you have high debt and you have high interest rates on that debt, it may make great sense to pay off debt. On the other hand, if you are having a, you know, interest rates like you're going to get on this sewer financing, which are under 2%, I wouldn't be paying that off anytime soon. I'd be saving the money, having it in a bank account, and interest rates will go above 2%, and you'll be earning more than you're paying on interest. So you got to be, I think, thinking strategically with this, and again, it goes back to establishing some policies so that you're providing guidance to the staff, which then you can change the policy, but as long as you don't have a policy, you're going to be all over the place. You know, and debating this every single budget session.
One council can't lock in another council, so down the road, another council can spend the money, and that's exactly where we've been in the past. And I would agree with Karen that if we use, we have a cash carryover this time, as Dan said, it'd be probably because of the consumption. Well, this year has been a very hot, very hot year, so we're probably going to have a higher consumption again this year. So we may have an extra money coming in for that too. If we took the 1.3 and earmarked it for paying down the debt, then we know that money's going to get used where it belongs. And that's the problem I think that all municipalities have is
right. And I'll just push back and say, in your opinion, that's putting the money where it belongs.
In past history.
Well, no, I'm just suggesting to you it may be more important to put that money into some capital outlay and actually repair the system so that you're not having to go borrow at higher rates, or you end up raising rates even more so. Again, without a financial plan and laying this all out to see where your needs may be and just doing it on a year-to-year basis, you're not going to necessarily be making the most informed decisions. They may be good at the time, they may not be. But I think you need to look at this on a longer term horizon. These systems cost, as you know, an awful lot to operate. They cost an awful lot to put in capital. And today you're experiencing this huge increase in sewer rates because rates weren't increased over time.
That's what I'm saying, is to increase the water rate. To go ahead and increase the water rate, I understand that. But to increase the water rate and just set the money somewhere and watch it get frivolously spent someplace is not a good viable option for the citizens. If you use it to pay off the bonds that we now have or the whatever it is, and next year if we have repairs to do, then take that increase and use it. But That's something that could be done on a yearly basis by the...
And I'm just, again, suggesting to you, you take a longer look at this, you look at it from a fiscal policy standpoint, and make longer-range decisions. And you may very well, as a group, say that's where you want to have that money go. You may very well, as you look at it, say, let's not be putting the money towards debt right now.
Dan, this resolution that you put together,
Are both of those tied in that resolution, or can we vote on the resolution without the water rate increase?
You can do that. We can change it, yeah.
I make a motion that we pass resolution 2015.14 on just the sewer and leave the water for a different discussion some other time.
Second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution of 2015.14, just the sewer, have the water be revisited at a later date.
Councilor? Sure.
You know, one suggestion I'd have for you is, I'm not sure when you're going to be bringing this back up, but if you do not raise your water rates before the end of this year, you will have lost that opportunity, and it's a 1.3%.
Well, we have quite a few more meetings before the end of the year. Right. I just think we're beating a horse down the road tonight with not a lot of information.
Sure, and I understand.
So I'm just separating.
Okay. So if we separate the issues, it doesn't affect the loan.
That's correct.
So that's
just
the
circle. So are you talking about the
fiscal year or the calendar year? Calendar year. So, okay. Yeah, if you're not going to take action or consider this before December, you potentially lose that. And from a customer, communicating to your customer standpoint, you're going to be giving them a rate increase based on this, potentially, and then between now and December, having yet another communication. So, you know, if you wanted to, you could go with the CPI only 1 year and deal with the rate. You know, that's another way maybe to
So we should deal with the water sooner than later as far as having to come back at, you know, another meeting. So you're on that. Okay, any more discussion?
Yeah, just to let you know that, or I'm just sitting here thinking, my hang up is the $10. We're voting on this up to the July 20th, and it's the $10 consumption rate. July of 2020, not the 20th of this month. That's a substantial consumption rate. I mean, we're talking $6. Now, that seems reasonable, and it seems, actually, I looked up Coos Bay's rate, and it's about 676 per 100 cubic feet, which is close to 1,000 gallons, or, you know, per 1,000 gallons, or close to it. But 10 is where, that's where I'm having the hurdle. So I'm just letting you know that what we're voting on is that all that whole structure from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
If I might ask a question, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
So if you make that adjustment there or bring that down, then you're going to need to raise the residential up, right?
Yeah.
To pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what
or something like. Else up. I just gave
yeah, it's a different structure is what it is.
Right.
Yeah, and again, with this, the resolution itself is to satisfy a DEQ requirement to show that you have a rate structure in place that will generate the financial resources to meet their requirements. What I'm also suggesting to you is that you're annually looking at this to see if, in fact, you should make some minor tweaks to it. And you could very well come back and say, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We could reduce that.
You could reduce that. You might find that it doesn't need to be, you know, at that level. But it's in place to, again, meet the DEQ need. And if we, again, lower that number, I'd have to come back in, you know, at another time and give you what is that impact to your single-family residential.
So, but we only have to do the single-family and the multifamily, actually, to get the DEQ. Right.
No, what you need to have is a rate structure that ultimately can be demonstrated that's going to generate the revenue in order to pay the cost and provide the net operating revenue to pay the debt service.
Any more questions? Go ahead and vote.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
No.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
I don't want to, but I...
Councilor Egbert?
No.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Nothing Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Reports? Anything? City manager update.
I promise to let you know that I believe we've come up with a mechanism for funding a kiddie playground. We're in the process of doing that and bring back a proposal to you that allow us to either acquire a grant or do a loan with the payback system that we're able to find revenue for. And we're still in the process of looking for that, but you'll see that at the next council meeting in terms of a proposal.
You're still looking for the grant, you said?
A combination of, or okay. Not alone. We're still working on it.
I'd like to ask Ralph Hall a question. How did the parks do the playgrounds out at River Forks?
That was a fundraiser by the Rotary. The Rotary clubs together and collected the funds for that. And that was basically a special needs playground that they got the funds raised for. The county, we didn't have any money in that project at all. The Wolf Creek Job Corps did a lot of the concrete work. Some of the other local retired contractors did some of the layout work. And then, like I said, the Rotary Club is the one that purchased all the equipment.
Do you know what the price tag was on that? I tend to forget.
I don't.
$400,000.
Seems like it was like $300,000 or $400,000.
And I was trying to remember somewhere in
that
neighborhood.
I can't believe it cost that much money when I
look at it. I took my grandson out there last weekend and it was great.
Yeah, Georgia Stiles was the one that was special on that project.
Thank you. City Council business comments. Remember, monthly time is limited. Please ask questions and make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Some additional comments and questions can be handled on a one-on-one basis. Should be handled outside the meeting. Councilor Anderson.
Yeah, I had a question, Jerry. In your weekly report, you mentioned you were working up by the golf course, just looking for utilities and our infrastructure there. Mm-hmm. What is that all entailing as far as just looking at what we have? Or, I mean, you're actually doing any work to increase infrastructure there? Or
they have a potential buyer, and they've asked us information on the water system and what the rates would look like. And okay. We're just trying to marry up a potential buyer with the owner and the general manager.
Okay.
And answering their questions and being there for them. So Brian and I have both been met with either the general manager or the potential new buyer. We have been told that the golf course has sold. What we can't get or confirm as to who's bought it, even the gentleman we've been working with won't tell us whether he's a buyer or not.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, if we were looking at upgrading anything or.
Well, the new buyer is.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You just wanted
okay.
To know where.
Okay. Okay. That's all I have.
Councilor Lazier.
That's easy.
Councilor Schoen. Is there a program that we could start to where we hire somebody or set money aside in next year's budget to sub out some pothole replacements? You know, we paved the streets on the side roads and, you know, like Utila this year. But like when you come over the railroad tracks, there's one hole there that knocks your tire out.
On State Street?
Yeah. No, it's on Central. It's on right when you come over. But, you know, we need to do something, even though those roads aren't ours, we need to just patch a little bit of something. And I don't know if Public Works needs to do it. We just need to figure out, you know, spend $15,000, $20,000 and have somebody go around and, when we see potholes, have to fix it, put them on some kind of a plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's something we can do.
You know, if you do, you can do cold patching that way, but to do hot patching, they have to have the asphalt made up. So.
Well, that's where Dan, a long time back, he finally had that hole fixed. It's right in front of the mini warehouse there.
Okay.
And you come over the railroad tracks. And
block.
He did put a cold patch in, and it lasted quite a while. But right in that area, it's just really tore up.
Okay.
We get thousands
we'll check
of cars
on it.
A day on it.
I'll check on it.
And that's all I have. Councilor Egbert. Councilor Boggs.
For Vicki, just you check on. I was in a community this weekend, and they had a couple really. I'm talking particularly about the state never here. I nearly have been T-boned twice there in the last week for people running the stop sign.
Uh-huh, me too.
Can you check? I was in Wenatchee, and they had stop signs that had these pretty red lights around the stop sign that flash, and their solar panel, mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to run wires and all that kind of stuff there. But that intersection here really needs them bad. There's a couple others in town that could use it.
We can price them. I don't know if we can afford them, but we can price
them.
I'll
come check with you at City Hall in a few days or something like that if you to remember it.
I can do it.
And then the same thing on they have these radar signs. They also had some signs like this popped all over communities now that.
What is that? I can't see it from here.
Like speed limit.
It's called Radar Sign. You can visit radarsign.com. But they just go, you know, and I think they're also your battery or solar powered, so they don't have to run wires and that stuff.
See what happens when you leave a magazine? He shops. Yeah, that's not a cheap
magazine. I didn't leave him a magazine.
You're about $2,000 a piece.
$2,000
a piece?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Put it
in a budget.
Okay.
Does this Brunette?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have something that we could look at that he's built? Like, you know, Fred Birding, we went up to see. What is it?
Mm-hmm. I'll get them.
Okay.
He's built like. Last time I talked, 80-some water parks across the West Coast, so.
Okay, and Lancer Development, are they involved in it at all?
It's his company, but he's created an LLC just for this called Oregon Only, and he just now started that up.
Okay, because the only thing I can find with Lancer Development mm-hmm. is all the principals are involved in racing.
Right, they are. And all of his owners are NASCAR executives and NASCAR money, yes.
And so the only development I've ever seen that they've tried to develop was a racetrack in Warm Springs.
Mm-hmm. They did. Mm-hmm.
It down.
He's told us that several times.
Okay. So
yeah.
Are we going to put a racetrack around Ford's Pond or something?
No, that's
not a bad idea.
Yeah, that, one of his key investors is a senior executive with NASCAR.
Project actually
had to
leave
the building.
Right.
Have they?
Yeah,
I think I did
read
that.
Is it Lands in Development?
Lion's Head.
Lion's Head in Development. Have they done
Lion's Head Development.
Have they done other developments like other than that project?
Or? Yes, like 80 some
the water parks.
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. He's worked or helped build Great Wolf. That's how we kind of.
Oh, they did Great Wolf?
He was one of the people that one of the subcontractors
okay.
for it.
That's right. I knew that. Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, we were going to have it on the agenda for the workshop last time to decide what's going to happen when people give you information and how the rest of the council is going to get that information.
Okay, was that supposed to be an agenda item?
It was supposed to be on the workshop. I asked about it two meetings ago, and you said it'll be on the workshop, but it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So
we can have that on the next agenda.
Will
that work?
Well, when somebody gives the mayor information, how those can, like we've got a system for us. You want a system for councilors and the mayor? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I was on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Can you put that on the next one? Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Then
we'll just put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
We can do that. Anything else? Okay, I don't have anything tonight, so. Public comment. Purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off the agenda. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. I have a couple of them here. Bob Banducci.
Good
Mr. Mayor?
I'm Bob Bandu, Chief, 1871 Hubbard Creek Road.
Bob, you wait just a second.
Can Chad hear us? We haven't heard him all night. Is he, he's there?
Yeah, I can hear.
Oh, okay. I just...
Go ahead.
You're interrupting the football game.
What I'm here tonight about is just to give you a little bit of an update, because the Public Works Department gave me a DEQ permit for the water use right agreement on the Crouch property. I've been waiting on my guy that's doing the plans for the water system. He was backed up for the summer, so I didn't want you guys to think that this had just went away, that we're getting our plan in place for the acreage right there and then maybe some expansion plans. I also wanted to come so you guys could have a chance to meet me and ask any questions. And I have a question or two, but if you guys have any questions of me, go ahead.
What do you plan on using the reuse water for? I'm just curious.
For irrigating pasture.
Okay. Just your pasture land?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So would it be up on the hill back behind my place then?
Probably not up on that steep hill. There's some flatter ground and stuff around there. You know, along Stearns Lane, back up the canyon there, out in front of the house and stuff. Probably not up on that house or up on that hill at this time for sure. So I'm sure DEQ would have a problem with runoff, especially with, you know, I don't know, Class C water. That would be a concern there. It'd be pretty hard to apply it.
Well, it won't be Class C as far as we know.
Well, and at that, I mean, that's down the road. So, yeah.
So you spoke with them then on what with their requirements DEQ? Are? Do you have to do a pond then to...
No, there's nothing. I mean, my agreement says that you guys provided pressure, so there's nothing about pond. I mean, you guys have all gotten a copy of the agreement that was okay.
Well, normally you get pressure, but you'd have to do a retaining pond that you would. That isn't constant water that's coming out of the septic or out of the sewer plant, the way I understand it. So, like the golf course has a pond that you would pump into, then pump out of it.
My guy that's doing the irrigation system, you can set a pump up to pump out of your system that will pump, shut off when the flow gets down, fire up again. Systems available to do that. I wasn't planning on putting any kind of holding ponds in, so that's not where we're headed with our irrigation plan.
Well, that's where you probably ought to check with your engineer, because I don't feel that it's fair that the community of Sutherland should give you free water and pay for pumps and electric and irrigate your ranch.
They're not. Well, I don't care what's fair. You have an agreement that's deeded at, or recorded at the county. What that was done by the mayor and the council years ago. So whatever that agreement says, whether it's fair or not, is what needs to be done. I would pay for the power. For the pumps. I mean, that's what the agreement says. At just your cost for the power. So, the other thing I was curious about, I mean, discussing here with the water and stuff, where does that effluent water go now?
Right now we have a permit that most of it goes to the golf course.
Where does the rest of it go?
I'm not sure. You'd have to talk to Brian. We have a
if you want, I got a picture of where it goes.
Well, don't worry.
What we need to
okay.
do is...
I didn't know if you knew.
Okay,
I just
stop. First of all, Bob, you can make a short presentation. If we want to get this in depth, you got to get on the agenda.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, that way we can get some more back.
If you want to cut me off, that's fine.
Mr. Mayor, no, I'm just saying, we have to...
We're dealing with attorneys. We might want to ask Chad.
And that's what I was getting ready to. You know, Chad, as far as... I know you've been dealing with Mr. Granducci and for legal issues, so you want to give us some guidance on what we need to do as far as putting them on the agenda or whatever?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Chad Jacobs from the city attorney's office. At this point, there's really not much for the city to do. The very first step in this entire process is Mr. Granducci needs to work with the state, continue to work with DEQ. This is a highly regulated process, as you all well know. And until we can get approvals from the state, there's not much the city can do. As part of that process of getting approvals from the state, then we would actually have to enter into a contractual agreement with Mr. Granducci about how the application of the water would go you know, what sort of systems are in place. And at that point in time, we would have some of these discussions about what pressure means under that deed agreement and things of that nature. So at this point in time, you know, I would not advise putting this on the agenda. Certainly, if Mr. Banducci wants to come in and give public comment as he is tonight, he's certainly free to do so. But in essence, you're putting the cart before the horse. We need to get through the state process first, and then we can move on to these secondary issues.
Okay, does that mean you're cutting me on point 300?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to answer the question over the water bills?
No. Well, no, I mean, well, just what the lawyer said, we're following our legal advice, and just like any other citizen, they got 3 minutes on off-agenda items, so you're not being singled out, you're being treated like everybody else. Okay, on to the next one. Mike Meyer.
Mike Meyer, 1826 Aspen Run, Sutherland. I got some comments about the recent forced resignation of our Assistant Fire Chief, Troy Brevick. In my opinion, that is a very cold and callous thing to do. He was asked to come down here. He passed all the tests or the I forget what you call it, but anyways, he passed Kurt Sanfilippo's report, and he came down here. He was asked to come down here to fill a job of assistant fire chief, and at the cost of $20,000, his own money, to move down here from Alaska to have a job, year's probation, and the reasons for him, the reasons that I've heard for his forced resignation are weak at best. I don't have those down here right now. One had something to do with his iPad, another chief's car, another lock in the door. I don't know what the third one was. I didn't have them down, but they were very weak reasons to cause this forced resignation. And I don't think any one of you would want to have that done to you or your family. He brought his wife and kids down here at a big cost, and now he's out of a job. He never got a chance to fulfill his job. He was here for a few weeks at a year's probation. So I think this is, like I said, a very cold and callous thing to do. This situation is going to be a stain on the city, I believe, for a long time if it's not resolved. And then you got to look at yourself, or you got to look and see what this means to anybody else that might want to come here and get a job. Say you want to hire another assistant fire chief. He's going to look at this and say, I don't want to work there, or anyone for that matter. You know, not just fire, not just in fire related. Say police or anyone in the city. So I hope you take this to heart, because this was not a very nice thing to do. Thank you.
Okay, that's all I have on the off-agenda item. Council prepared to go into executive session and may return to open session in approximately 30 to 60 minutes if any action is necessary tonight. Executive session is called under RRS 192.660-2F to consider information or records exempt by law from public inspection. If needed, ORS 192.660-2B to consider the dismissal or disciplining of a public officer, employee, staff member, or individual agent, or hear complaints or charges brought against such a person if that person does not request an open hearing. Representatives of the news media, and designated staff are allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. This time we asked everybody to leave. Like I said, if we come back to open session, like I said, it'd be 30 to 60 minutes. Thank you.